Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have many, many questions, so hopefully we'll get a second round here, and maybe I'll predicate with some things to think about. Obviously, Mr. Fanning, I want to follow up on your comments about the workforce and who we're losing right now, because these are skilled workers that once they disappear and they go find a job wherever they can find a job that has health care, I want to know what we're going to do about health care, because they only have 1 month of a health care benefit. Then after, you're going to be in a pandemic still, you're going to go find a job with health care. You're not going to wait. So then when we restart in a more aggressive way, where are those workers going to be? And we've lost our competitiveness. So if you can think about that. But I'd like to go to Dr. Godwin, if I could. Thank you so much for your articulate assessment of what we have to do to return safety, public health safety, to aviation. And thanks so much for the University of Washington's leadership in our state as we've dealt with this. We just couldn't have dealt with a crisis in our state without the University of Washington. So thank you for everything that they've been doing on testing and with the Institute of Health Metrics Evaluation and with this innovative program on COVID Safe. So can't thank you enough. What level of travel do you think that aviation, if we were following the guidelines and implementing a national guideline policy as you discussed, what level of air travel do you think that we could achieve safely?
That's a great question, Senator. I guess I'm less worried about what level we can achieve at this point, because we have working in our favor that right now we're starting from very low levels, and we don't expect a switch to flip and all of a sudden to go up to super high levels of travel. We expect people to re-enter and to travel gradually, and that gives us a period of time to implement these measures in a way that is very protective of travelers and airport personnel and workers. As we see the levels start to increase, hopefully we'll also start to see the pandemic continue to wane globally. And so my hope would be that by the time we get up to higher levels of travelers, that some of the risks associated with COVID-19 may be diminishing. I think the most important thing to convey in terms of how we manage this interim time is this question of density, though. Normally, we would try to fly as few planes as possible with as many people on each plane as possible. And what we know from public health is that it's that close proximity of individuals for extended period of time that creates the greatest risk of transmission. So we want to balance that driver to lower the costs with those public health safety considerations.
Thank you. And I think that's so important what you said, because you're saying what my father used to say all the time, because he was a Navy man, steady as she goes, right? So you're not trying to you're trying to implement the healthcare policy. That's our best bet. Implement the healthcare policies, and then we can move forward. Mr. Calio, what about that? What about getting a national guidance policy that is across the United States? Hopefully. Let's not say to the flying public, we're going to charge you to keep the middle seat open. Let's just get the airlines to do the right distancing if that's what it takes. So what about getting a national guideline policy implemented?
I apologize, I can't get the mic straight. There's two questions there. On the distancing, we are doing that now to the greatest degree possible. I'm going to be straightforward, as you know I always am. In the long term, that's a business model that cannot be sustained, because if it costs more to fly people from point A to point B, It's a total money losing proposition, which then means it's a job loss proposition. So hopefully, by the time we reach the point later on where travel is picking up, other measures will be in place, vaccines, testing, et cetera, that will give the public the assurance they need and be able to protect both our employees and the customers. In terms of national guidelines, there's an awful lot going on voluntarily. Our preference would be to go down that route mostly. I think it's great that Dr. Godwin is on the panel today because it provides the opportunity to talk about these things, and we have been talking about these with many other experts in the area, and we'd be happy to talk to you about it as well.
Thank you, and I know my time has expired, but Mr. Chairman, I want to say to Mr. Calio, if your partner associations, look, I think it's United backing off of what they were trying to do on forced hour reduction was the right move, and I hope that JetBlue and Delta are going to do the same things. We're definitely going to get out of the Treasury the right guidance on this, and clearly we wanted to help protect the payroll of those individuals, so thank you.